Hey, everyone, and welcome to this week's Narration by George podcast, the podcast of audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. This week we are on podcast number 13. Now, we've dwelt on audiobooks in the past several weeks. That's our usual main focus. But this week I want to share some thoughts with you of a spiritual nature. These are not my thoughts. I've lifted them to share with you with the permission of the writer. So let me introduce you to the writer. John Paul Cook is an amazing young man whom I've known since he was 5 years old. John Paul and his family and my family are very close, so I've got a little prejudice here. I've had a certain joy in watching John Paul and his four younger sisters grow up. I've even had the chance to teach JP in Bible classes for a short while. Now, he's in his early 20s now. He's graduated from David Lipscomb University with a ministry degree. He's currently doing master's work at the Princeton Theological Seminary in New Jersey. He's engaged and will be married in less than a month. Within that context, he posted a blog in a site called justmarriedministries.org. This site is a place for those who are engaged or newly married to write about their experiences. The blog is entitled, How Would Jesus Date? The following are his words. A Bible teacher who grew up in a broken home once told me how he learned about life through reading scriptures. Psalms was my mother, Proverbs was my father, and the Gospels showed me how to be a man. I found this image of being raised by Scripture to be thought-provoking. In Psalms, it is easy for me to find the kinds of prayers that my mother prayed with me. Proverbs contains the types of practical advice that many sons learn from their fathers. The third image, that of masculinity in the Gospels, is particularly intriguing for me. The Gospels are focused on telling the story of one man, Jesus. Most people seem to like Jesus and are interested in his teachings, but Jesus is far from our culture's depictions of actualized manhood. We are more likely to look at Bond, Bourne, or Bauer than to look at the boy born in Bethlehem for our images of masculinity. While most of our heroes in books and movies solve their problems with violence or competition, Jesus subverts these expectations. Christ teaches us that the last are first, that the poor are blessed, and that evil and violence can be resisted without retaliating in kind. Jesus is compelling, but also quite different from our expectations of what it means to be a leader or a successful person. From an early age, I had decided that I wanted to follow Jesus and desired to model my life after his life and teachings. I remember receiving a What Would Jesus Do bracelet and attempting to reevaluate situations in light of Christ's teachings. Jesus was an excellent teacher, but I realized that there was one area of my life that he had not said anything about. Jesus never said anything about having a healthy marriage, dating, or even how to talk to girls. As a teenager, this presented a problem. I wanted to talk to girls, to date in a faithful way, and eventually to have a healthy marriage that honored God. And unfortunately, my rabbi never went on any dates, not really a first century Jewish thing, I guess, got married, or even had a dating and relationships class with his disciples. Jesus did say that once you are married that you should not get divorced, Matthew 5:32, Matthew 19:9, Mark 10:5-12, and Luke 16:18. But that's about it. So what is a young Christian to do? I suppose I could have elected for a life of celibacy, but that was never an idea that has entertained for very long. Thus, my journey began to scour through Scripture in search of a teaching or example that might inform my own practice. Eventually, my adventure brought me to Ephesians 5:25-33. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the Word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their body, just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Paul points us back to Jesus to understand how a healthy marriage works. Our example of how to love our spouse is found in Christ's beautiful love for the church. Obviously, wives are called to love their husbands in a Christ-like manner as well. However, this passage was particularly influential on me as I discerned how, as a man, to faithfully pursue and care for a woman. As I prepared to be married to my fiancée, Lauren, I'm trying to love her in this way. I am called to give myself up for Lauren, verse 25, to put her well-being and desires before my own. As her husband, I am called to make her holy, verse 26. Christ has also done this for Lauren in a way that I struggle to fathom, but my part is to do all I can to help her grow in faith into the holy woman of God that she was created to be. I am to love Lauren as I love my own body, verses 28 and 29, to care for her and make her joy and pain my own. In marriage, I will promise to love her as I love myself, verse 33. I believe I can take the analogy of Christ's love for the church and flesh out the details of how to faithfully love my wife by examining how Jesus loved others in his ministry. I could spend hours describing Christ's love and what it means for me, but I want to focus on a couple of things that have impacted my relationship with Lauren. Christ loved the church before the church even knew how to love him back. Christ makes himself vulnerable before the disciples or crowds even understand who he is. Christ remains faithful even when his church is unfaithful, 2 Timothy 2:13. I decided I wanted to take the initiative, to be the first person to make myself vulnerable in our relationship. When we are married, I will promise to love Lauren and to remain faithful to her, regardless of whether or not I perceive her to be acting lovingly and faithfully toward me. Our culture teaches us that it is normal to love others based upon certain conditions. Jeff Moore calls these conditions the I love you ifs. I will love you if you love me back. I love you because you make me feel good about myself or give me things I want. It has become second nature that we expect something in return for our love. Jesus did have something to say about this. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? Matthew 5:46. In my marriage, I will promise to love Lauren unconditionally in the way that Christ loves. I love you. No ifs or buts about it. No conditions. Just a choice to promise myself to another. Whew, that's much easier said than done. Contrary to my initial diagnosis, Jesus has indeed given me an excellent and challenging example of how to pursue a healthy and faithful marriage. So once again, I find myself chasing after my rabbi with a cheesy bracelet and a new understanding of how to live faithfully. Words from an amazingly mature and perceptive young man. God bless you, John Paul and Lauren, as you start your adventure in marriage with God at the center of the two of you. I share these with you, my audience, whether you are single or married, since there are principles that are applicable to any relationship, but especially to that relationship you have with a significant other. That's our time for today. Thanks for joining me for the Narration by George podcast, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. Don't forget to check out my audiobooks with Christian themes at my website. It's narrationbygeorge.com. Click on the books icon in the menu. So join me next week for an interview with author Sue Badeau. That's next Wednesday, when the Narration by George podcast is once again new.